Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, February 21st, 2021.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, father Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are
mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said it simply. Jesus said it best. And anyone who knows me probably knows this passage by heart. I've said it so very often, knowing that life is a series of trials. And perhaps at no time in our lives have we become more acutely aware of how difficult life on this earth can be. A pandemic that has claimed many lives, affected the physical and emotional health of many others, shuttered businesses, increased unemployment, and decreased savings has only served to underscore what you and I already know. Enduring trial is just our way of life, until death brings this life's trials to its end. In the epistle, James would write, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." And then there's the Old Testament lesson, where we hear of the trial that God gave to Abraham and his son Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice the son for which he had waited for so many years. And of course, last but not least, in the gospel, we hear of how Jesus would have to withstand the trial of the devil's temptations in the wilderness for 40 days. A reminder for those of you who struggle, we realize that we are not alone. Trials. Truly, they're as old as the garden. It was there that God warned Adam and Eve, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." One simple command, not too much to ask. And yet Adam and Eve ate. And from that moment forward, we daily bring trials into this world with our sin. And that's not going to change until that day comes when our Lord appears. Perhaps you find that discouraging. The world certainly does. But you shouldn't. God uses this world's trials to shape those whom he loves, to refine you like the most precious of gold. No pain, no gain. That tired old motto remains true, and all the more so in the world of spiritual discipline and growth. The author of Hebrews writes, "It is for discipline that you have to endure." God is treating you like sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know, people often ask me, "Pastor, why is God allowing this hardship to take place in my life?" To which I have to respond, "Don't you know that God is good? And that makes for a good answer and for a good outcome. God permits trials in our lives to strengthen our faith, to grow our trust in him, and to draw us closer to himself." Now recall Abraham. He trusted God. In fact, so much so that he took his wife and left his home of 75 years at God's command. Abraham had no idea where they were going. Talk about trust. Could you do that? And then he waited another 25 years before God made good on his promise to give him a son, a miracle child given to Abraham at the age of 100. And then, of course, after that, God tells Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you." Obviously, God wants that child back, huh? Well, Abraham went to that place God told him with Isaac and prepared to sacrifice him as God commanded. Could you do that? Or maybe you'd rather ask, how could Abraham do that? The answer, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." So, what do we see at work in Abraham? Faith. Not faith in himself, but faith in God. To raise the dead to life. Faith in the resurrection of the dead. That was already Abraham's and God's promise of the Messiah. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through him could Abraham even consider this sacrifice. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit could this trial make Abraham's faith even stronger. I must ask, how important is the power of the Holy Spirit which God has given to his baptized children? Consider the power of temptation that is work against us. All we need to do is look at the unrelenting attacks that the devil mounted against Jesus during those 40 days. Could you? Could I withstand that sort of satanic assault? Only in the power of the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul writes, God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So even when the forces of evil align themselves against you, God will not allow temptation to overwhelm you. Instead, God restrains it and gives you a way to endure it and eventually to escape from it. And yet, in spite of all that God gives us, we give in and we sin every day. Unlike Jesus, God would place no limits on the devil's power to tempt Jesus. And he would endure everything the devil threw at him. But that doesn't mean that Jesus did not experience the painful pangs of temptation. Jesus had to do it. Jesus had to do it for us because we could not do it for ourselves or for God. We needed his help. We still do. As the author of Hebrews writes, because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In Jesus, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so Jesus would bear our temptations, our sin and our guilt, from that barren wilderness all the way to that barren place called Calvary. And even there, Satan remained on the attack. As Jesus hung upon the cross for you and me, those who passed by him derided him, wagging their heads at him and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross." So also the chief priests, with the scribes and elders, mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. So you see, even in Jesus' dying moments, Satan kept at it. He had persuaded those who had gathered at the cross to challenge Jesus. Give it up. Give up the shame, the pain, and the death. Right up to the end, the devil was trying to get Jesus, trying to get him commit that one sin that would undo all that Jesus had done for us. And yet for us, Jesus stuck it out. Nothing he did would be in vain. Here's the proof. They laid his lifeless body in the tomb on Friday, but that tomb was empty on Sunday. Jesus rose. He overcame death, and so shall we, but only because of him, of his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his victorious resurrection over sin, death, and the devil. So can you see? The one who rejected every temptation became the one who became full of sin. Not his sin, but your sin and my sin and the sin of the entire world. For you, for me, for us all. My dear friends, my prayer is this, that you never forget what Jesus has done for you. May you never forget who stands at the Father's right hand and intercedes for you. May you never forget the love of your Savior, who bore the penalty that God's justice demanded of you to free you from your slavery to sin. Bow down before God. Do it in the righteousness of Christ and give him thanks for sparing you from an eternal death in hell. Through Christ alone, righteousness is yours through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. The faith that the Holy Spirit creates and supports in you through the preaching of Christ's message. So hear now the word of Christ, who was crucified for you. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so
you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.